Hello there, beautiful people. Leah Fiore Tracy here once again with Take Me to Eternity, where I try my hardest to filter the things coming into the church and the world through the Word of God. Today I want to start off by saying that if you like this podcast, if you don't like this podcast, please go on and find me on Facebook and send me a review. Tell me if you like it, if you don't like it, I'd love to hear. You can find me my blog at www.takemetoeternity.com. I have the Facebook page, which is Take Me to Eternity, as well as an Instagram and a YouTube page. If you like it, if you don't like it, let me know. I'd love to hear your feedback. So today's episode is going to be on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is coming, and generally, I dive into history and why we celebrate the day and all of that stuff, but today I'm going to do it a bit different. I want to talk about simply the act of being thankful. Why are we thankful and why are we called to give thanks to God? What does the Bible say about Thanksgiving? I am kind of excited about this episode because it's one that's really helped me in my depression and anxiety. And I really think that thanking the Lord and praising Him in the midst of trials can help turn things over for me, at least. You know, I'm sure it's the same for other people. So let's dive in. The 1828 dictionary defines thankfulness as an expression of gratitude, acknowledgement of a favor. Gratitude, a lively sense of good received. The celebrations of those holy mysteries being ended, retire with all thankfulness of heart for having been admitted to that heavenly feast. I want to go to the heavenly feast. I am thankful that God did the work so I don't have to do it. The Book of Psalms is an amazing book, and it's so full of thanksgiving. Even the Psalms that are crying out to God in fear, or sometimes even anger, have thanksgiving and trust in them. In chapter 136, every stanza says, "His loving kindness is everlasting." It's literally a chapter of thanks that starts out the first verse, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His loving kindness is everlasting." I mean, come on now. This is the kind of thankfulness that we ought to have as believers. We need to trust in the Lord and be thankful for everything that He gives us. Be content in what we have, which is not easy to do. That can be quite hard sometimes, especially when we feel like we have lack. So why are we to be thankful? And how do we rightly express it? Let's start off with a little bragging, shall we? I know you're not supposed to brag, but God is the most powerful and most awesome of all beings. Before the beginning, He was. Like, think about that for a minute. There was no beginning. He was there. He created the beginning. He created everything, and He sustains everything. From the microbe to the dirt to the redwood trees, the bears and the flowers, He created literally everything. Every cell He formed and every person He chose for a reason and a purpose. That's right, you have a reason and a purpose. Even when you feel like you have none, you do. God chose you and every bit of you for a reason. We all have meaning because we're made in His image. Because He formed us, we each have value, each one with a life laid out to live to glorify God and help others. Every single good thing is from Him because He is good and He wants good for everyone. Every beautiful thing was made for enjoyment. James 1:17 and 18 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures." And I gotta tell you, you know, people change, life changes, you just don't know what to expect a lot of times. But with God, He doesn't. It says, There's no variation or shifting shadow, and that is so comforting to me. I love that it says he brought us forth by the word of truth, because we know, you know, that's Jesus. Jesus is the word of truth. Got Questions says, when we're thankful, our focus moves off of selfish desires and off the pain of current circumstances. Expressing thankfulness helps us remember that God is in control. Thankfulness, then, is not only appropriate, it's actually healthy and beneficial to us. It reminds us of the bigger picture, that we belong to God, and that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Truly, we have an abundant life. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You know, God, Jesus came so that we can spend eternity with him and just have an abundance. And we ought to be thankful. And that is one thing we can always be thankfulness is for his work that he's already done for us and that we don't have to do it. And no matter what, that we as believers, if you're a believer, then you will be in eternity with Jesus. That is just something to be so thankful for. So gratefulness is very fitting. He is creative and is the first artist. His beauty is seen in every child's face, every beautiful flower, and every sunrise and sunset. He deserves our thanksgiving, for he gave us everything to be thankful for. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created all of it. Even the flowers that nobody ever sees, he sees them, and he enjoys them. I mean, he is an amazing, creative God. When we look at the account of God creating everything, we see that he created, and then he admired his creation. He looked and said that it was good. When he created humans, however, he didn't just say that it was good. He said, and behold, it was very good. God enjoys his creation, and he gives us good things to enjoy and to share with others, which is actually a whole other kind of enjoyment. He is even good to those who hate him. They too get goodness on earth. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Another version says that we are his masterpiece. Like, you're God's masterpiece. How awesome is that? God saved us by his grace through faith, which is a gift from God. He did it without our help. No one can say, look what I did to get here when we're in heaven. It's all about God's goodness, his kindness, and what he did for us. What could deserve more thankfulness than that? It's not about how good we are. We're not so great. He is. It's his goodness, his greatness, and we ought to be thankful to him for all of that. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-18 says, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another one with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Excuse me. We fall short of that, don't we? Like, did you catch that, though? It's God's will that we rejoice always. I mean, if you want to know what the will of God is, I mean, that's one of the wills of God, that we rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything. There is literally always something to be thankful for. Like, always. Even if the only thing that you can come up with is salvation, that is enough to be thankful. When I had COVID, I remember just how precious my breath was. Like, I had a hard time breathing, there was some issues, but I really remembered that my next breath was so precious and where it came from. I didn't have to go to the ER or be put on a ventilator or anything like that. It wasn't like that. But whenever your breath is hindered and you have to actually think about breathing, it makes you think about how precious it is. It kind of changes it when you have to think about it. I know that sounds strange, but I was reminded to give thanks for it. It made me think about the fact that every heartbeat belongs to God and is a gift. My eyesight, my ability to move and touch and feel and love, to taste and smell. My children, my friends, my husband, my family, the roof over my head, food to eat, even dirty dishes and dirty laundry, and a messy house, because it means I have the dishes and we were fed. We have the clothes and we played in them, and we have a life with a house to enjoy. Each thing is a beautiful, wonderful gift from God. A doctor's bill means my health is being addressed. A broken down car means I have a car to fix. So many don't have these things, yet we so easily forget to be thankful for them. It's really, really easy to forget that. Or we stress over having to take care of them. When my bills, health, work, and family or people overwhelm, God's goodness is still there, and He is just waiting for us to realize the things that we have to be thankful for. Even situations that hurt and are hard are made good with God. God can make things come out for our good, for the good of others. I mean, He gives us grace so that we can give other people the same grace, you know? We should be thankful. I'm thankful after I come out of the situation. Not always grateful when I'm in it, but you know, later on when I look back, I can see the things that He has done through hard times, and I'm so grateful for the lessons that He has taught me. What would it be like if God was not good? What if we had no goodness at all? I guess that's what hell is, right? To be apart from God's goodness. How dark does it feel when we feel like we are far from God? I can tell you I remember distinctly, and yet even then, it was better than to be in a place of absolute darkness. The darkest times in our lives that we've ever had, there's still light there. There's still goodness there. It's going to be worse for those who are in hell. There's going to be an absolute darkness that no one on earth has ever been in. It's so easy to forget to be thankful. It's so easy to think we're in complete darkness and not realize that there's a light that we just aren't perceiving, that we are not as far away as we think we are. It makes me think of like the darkest black that you have normally, and then, you know, they come up with a new color, and the new darkest black is like this crazy dark black that like absorbs more light, and it's more black. It's going to be blacker than that black. So it's easy to think that we're in complete darkness and not realize that there's a light that we aren't perceiving, that we are not as far away as we think we are. We see in the Bible over and over again people in despair when they forget to be thankful, when they look at their circumstances from a human view that they can only see right now and fear later. One that doesn't see the big picture or what's to come of a situation. When we choose selfishness and not selflessness, so much of our overwhelmed attitude comes from looking at our circumstances and not being thankful for what we really have and relying on God to get us through whatever's going on. One person who always astonishes me is Job. Job is just amazing. I like the weirdest books of the Bible are my favorite. I mean, Job and Ecclesiastes. Everybody says it's weird that I love those books. Jeremiah, it's another great one. Job 13, 15, and 16 says, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. This also will be my salvation, for a godless man may not come before his presence." Job had everything that he had taken away from him, everything, but God. God was there. He didn't forget that. He was sick and no one wanted to be near him, but God. There's a hint of thankfulness in this message, isn't there? He still had hope. He knew he was saved by that hope, and he knew that he could come into the presence of God. To remember that in the midst of our trials, that's everything. He even said he was going to argue his ways before him. That's pretty gutsy, if you ask me. He knew he could go to God even in the middle of all of that. I mean, that is an amazing faith that it's just awesome. What a thankful heart he had. That's a person who trusted in the Lord. He was a servant who knew his master well, knew his love. He knew his good came from God and that he could request goodness, that God was his provider of that goodness and the giver of all good. Even when his life was in shambles and it would seem he had no hope, he still knew his helper and trusted him. Job 1:21 says, "He said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" In the middle of all of that, he's still saying, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." I mean, we can do that. We can be thankful and praise the Lord in the midst of hard trials. And you don't have to be thankful for the thing that's going on. You don't have to be thankful for the hurt, but you can be thankful because God is good even in the middle of the hurt, and he can make great things come from it. Do you do that? Do you bless the Lord even when things are hard? It took me a long time to do that, and really, it was coming into a heart attitude of knowing God is always in control, even when I feel like my life is out of control. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at it and I do it all the time, or that I don't have issues and troubles and depression and anxiety, because I still deal with all of that, but there's hope in it now. And God can make things change quickly. Here's a view of someone who knew God intimately, worked miracles, and was bold for the Lord. Yet in a time of despair, he wanted death, and it seems he forgot, at least momentarily, to trust God with his situation. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 6 says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So may the gods do to me, and even more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It's enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's.' He lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said, 'Arise, eat.' Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again." This is directly after Elijah had gone before the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He had stood up against them, challenged Baal, and mocked them when he didn't respond, showing that he was nothing, Baal was nothing, and that God was all powerful. Directly after that, Jezebel vowed to kill him, and he ran. He ran. He sat down and asked God to kill him. It says he requested for himself that he might die. He said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life." Instead of remembering this huge thing that just happened and putting his trust in God to handle Jezebel, he instead threw up his hands and accepted defeat. I mean, he looked at his circumstances and got overwhelmed by them. Do I think I would have done better in that situation? No, not even almost. I would have crumbled long before that. But this is what happens when we forget to sit in praise, to pray without ceasing, to be thankful in all situations, and rejoice for the things God has already accomplished in our lives. I think that's why it's so important that we talk to each other and talk about the great things that God has done. You know, that's the importance of our testimony, is sharing with each other and encouraging each other with God's goodness. God has already accomplished things in our life that is just amazing, and we forget that. It's so easy as humans to get bogged down by our circumstances, to focus on right this second, on our fears, on our feelings, our wants, our desires, and not God. To forget that we have a loving God that's in control of everything, and even if he chooses for us to die, it would be better for us because he knows best. That's hard though, isn't it? It's really hard to trust in him like that. And I think sometimes it's not even a lack of trust. It's just we're looking at our circumstances and we're fearful. And as humans, that's absolutely normal. But we can always trust in the Lord, and God will always give us one way or another to get through things. Philippians 4 was a life-changing chapter for me personally. I have dealt with extreme debilitating anxiety and depression my whole life. I remember being little and being so scared of everything. I was the little kid that hid underneath my mom's skirt, and I'm not joking when I say that. I literally hid underneath my mom's skirt. I remember being scared of the dog that barked across the street. It terrified me. People terrified me. Life terrified me. As I grew older, that terror didn't go away. It simply morphed into different displays. I became the tough chick who flipped everyone off, yet couldn't order my own food at a restaurant. I had an FU attitude while trembling at the thought of rejection. I was terrified of loneliness because I was so consistently lonely. I feared more than anything being all alone. I really think it brought me closer to God. He has always been there when there was no one else there for me. He has been my comforter and my shelter. As I drew close to God, I begged him for peace. In time, when I had humbled myself before him and decided my way wasn't working, I would do life his way, I was drawn to Philippians 4. I think people gave me the verse, "Be anxious for nothing," like a remedy, instead of like teaching me the truth that the chapter contained, though I don't know that they could have actually taught it to me the way that God did. And you know, it's God. He teaches us. He knows our hearts and exactly what we need. I was brought to studying it myself, though it was interesting how long it took me to work out all the kinks of what I really used with that, understanding what God wanted me to understand in it. Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." Everyone wants that peace, right? Like, I don't know anybody who wouldn't want that peace. The peace that surpasses all comprehension. That weird peace you can't explain in the midst of trials apart from God. It tells us to rejoice always. It doesn't say rejoice when things are going well. It says rejoice always. How do we always rejoice? Well, it tells us the Lord is near. God is with us. Be anxious for nothing, even in trials, because we don't have control and God does. We are to rely on Him. Pray, ask, and be thankful that He's listening and knows what's going on, that He will respond in the best way possible for us. So many times it doesn't look like it's the best thing, but again, God knows everything. He can see what will come out of a situation, and He can make it come out for the best, even when Satan means it for evil. God gives us peace when we trust Him, when we trust that He knows, He is working, and He is present. When we fill our hearts with needless worry of the future that we aren't even promised to begin with, it causes anxiety. It's like we think that by our worry we can change it, or that God doesn't know, or that He's not big enough. When we sit in darkness and feed our anxiety or depression, we can't have peace, and we forget the things that we have to be thankful for. And I'm not saying you're always going to be at peace, and you're never going to have problems or anxiety or depression, because that's just not true. But God can bring you peace even in the midst of hard times. Philippians 4:8-9 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." We can be thankful for that alone. The God of peace will be with us. I mean, even if I am in absolute turmoil and there's nobody on earth with me and I don't feel like anybody loves me, I still have God. I still have Him. He is my hope. He is my comfort. He is all I need. He is my all in all. Peace comes from living as God wants us to. It comes when we rely on Him and when we think about what is right and true. I used to listen to music that fed the darkness. I fed my depression with songs that expressed a part of me I wished I didn't have. In turn, it grew bigger and consumed me. This verse gave me the antidote. Dwell on whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and of good repute. The things of excellence and worthy of praise, which is God. Practice them and dwell on them. Sit in the light and be washed by it. It's a big reason I want to talk about God all the time, His goodness, His attributes, what He says is good for us and how to avoid what is bad. In doing that, I am dwelling on Him and His goodness, and it brings me peace. Philippians 4:11-13 says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Contentment is huge. It's huge. We need to be thankful and we need to be content with what we have. Part of being content is being thankful for what you have and understanding the goodness in having it. I really believe that sometimes not having all the things is actually a blessing in the moment. There was a point when my husband and I had first moved and we had nothing. We had a house that we were renting, but no way to pay the rent. Thankful that my dad and stepmom owned it and were very gracious with us. We had two kids and we were broke, and in the middle of having way less than what we wanted, we had so much. It also was a moment where we were extremely blessed by others. They could have looked down on us and said we weren't doing enough, but instead, they saw what we were doing and blessed us through God's provisions for them. We learned a great deal also in that period of time, one of which was to be content with what we had and okay with not having all the things we wanted, as well as seeing God provide through others time and time again. Somehow, our cupboards would be almost bare, and someone would step in not knowing how little we had. People didn't all know what was going on. You know, in life, we go through times of plenty and times of not very much. It's our attitude of thankfulness that helps to determine our view of the situation. God is our everything. He is our provider, our helper, and our strength. Sometimes we are blessed with the chance to lean on Him, to remember He's in control, and that we can rest knowing that He will provide even when it looks like there's no way. Philippians 4:18-20 says, "But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am aptly supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleased to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen." God is pleased with our thankfulness. He is pleased when we realize that He is the one who provides, and He is pleased when we help to provide for others out of the abundance of our provisions. Sometimes all you can give is something small, but that something small is actually huge to somebody else. Sometimes it's all someone else needs. We have to remember to be thankful for the little and good stewards of it all. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I am thankful for many, many things, one of which is the gift of life. Through any hardship that I have gone through, which is very small in light of what some have gone through, I'm thankful for the ability to live. I'm so thankful for redemption and the victory that I didn't have to do anything to do with. Like, I didn't earn it. I didn't have to do anything. I know I would screw that all up. I'm a wretched sinner who deserves punishment. I have lied, I've stolen, I've hated and coveted, been envious. I have done very wicked things, we all have. I'm thankful that God made a way for me to be right with Him, that He chose to come down and be a sacrifice, a payment for my sins. I could never be good enough to deserve good, but God, while we were His enemies, bled and died on the cross for our sins, in hope that we would turn away from our sin and turn to Him, that we would put our faith and trust in Him and know that He is the truth and that life comes from Him. When we do that, when we agree with Him that He is truth and His ways are better than ours, He makes us pure. He takes away all of our sins and He remembers them no more, as far as the east is from the west. I'm so thankful that He did that so that I can be made right with Him, because there's really no other way. What a loving thing to do, and what a big thing to be thankful for. He suffered and paid the price so I can be called righteous and a child of God. Psalms is an amazing book that we can see why to give thanks to the Lord. It shows us to give thanks to the Lord because He's our provider. He is good, and His love endures forever. His loving kindness is everlasting. He's our help in times of trouble. He has given us wonders. He satisfies our soul. He's our healer, our deliverer. He makes our ways straight. He gives us rest for our soul and nourishment for our bodies. A beautiful world to enjoy and people to enjoy it with, just to name a few. I love to see His judgment also. I know that sounds kind of weird, but how would He be good if He didn't rightly judge? If He allowed evil to have no consequences, I couldn't call Him a good God. Psalms 9:7-10 says, "But the Lord abides forever. He has established His throne for judgment, and He will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the people with equity. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. God is just, and in that he is wholly just. Every decision is good and just. We absolutely are called to look after the oppressed, but he is the ultimate source of justice for them. Every wrong done, he has the last say in. I don't need to take vengeance because God says vengeance is mine, and I am so glad that he knows a man's heart and can judge from a place of perfect judgment. I wouldn't make perfect judgments. He is a place for us to run and be safe. We are to trust him and thank him because he does see us. The Bible says he inclines his ear to those who love him. It's pretty amazing, and I'm so thankful for that. You're never alone when you have God. Psalms 18, 1 through 3. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. God is our strength. When we feel weak and in need of help, he is where we ought to turn. That's what he wants because he is almighty. He can protect us like no other. I remember when I was pretty young and some horrific things were happening to me. I called out to him, and what's funny to me now is that he answered. Sometimes in saving us from our enemies, he sees others, he uses others, and we miss it. We miss it because we think that it's got to be a voice from heaven or something crazy that couldn't have been looking normal. But he can use other people. Just like sometimes his provision comes from someone else and we credit it to them and not him. Psalms 9, 1 through 2 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When we speak of the things that he has done, it both reminds us of what he has done and also fortifies others who need to remember his goodness. It's always encouraging when you hear of the wonderful things he has brought people through. When he gives thanks for and acknowledges When we give thanks for and acknowledge his hand in our lives, it helps to solidify our turning to him in times of trouble. We know that he has brought us through A, B, and C, so we remember to have faith in and rest in him. I could probably spend hours upon hours just talking about Psalms alone, so I will move on. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7 says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here we see Peter talking about being thankful for trials and distress, for this is proof of our faith. God refines us through trials, and he teaches us valuable faith-building lessons. I am abundantly grateful for the lessons he has taught me through the trials in my life. For one, they weren't in vain. There was a point. When we come through the other side and all you see is the pain, bitterness can set in, and we can become angry at God for allowing such circumstances. But a funny thing happens when we find reasons to rejoice. When we look to God and say, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're doing something, he doesn't cause evil things to happen to us, but he can use them to help others and to better us. He works all things for the good of those who love him, even what Satan meant for our destruction. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 says, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus, our Lord, equipped you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. I just love this. The God who can raise the dead equips you in every good thing to do his will. How cool is that? If we want to live a life that's glorifying God and do whatever is in his will for us to do, guess what? He will equip you. He'll equip you for everything that he wants you to do. I really don't know how many times he has had to show me this. 6 years ago, I was agoraphobic, had huge social anxieties, just social issues like so bad. I didn't know how to be around people, how to speak to people, and I had panic attacks, like really bad panic attacks, that made me feel like I was dying. I freaked out inside if I had to talk to anyone, but God, he's so amazing. He has cultivated a voice in me. He's given me a boldness to speak truth and an urgency to speak it. I, who was once scared of life, am now embracing it. There's no way I could have done a podcast in the past. If you would have told me that that's what I would be doing in 6 years, I would have died laughing and told you you were nuts and you didn't know me. But God, he equips us to do his will, and that's just so very comforting, because I know that if he has works for me to do and he wants me to do it, I can trust his strength and goodness and gifts to be able to do those things and do them, I mean, hopefully well, you know? To know I don't have to strive for anything, I just have to be obedient, is really comforting. Titus 2:11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people of his own possession, zealous for good deeds." One thing that's so comforting in this is that he helps us to be who he wants us to. If we're fully his, he will help us to kick that addiction. He will help us to make right decisions, talk to the people kinder, love him more. He helps us to not want the things that are bad for us and to want what is good. We in turn have to listen and obey him, but he helps us. He gives us options and helps us to choose the right ones. He gives us strength and a want for him. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." When his Spirit lives inside us, we produce fruit according to the Spirit in us. Through redemption, sanctification, and regeneration, we start to look more and more like him. Hopefully every day we look and sound more like Jesus. That's what my goal is. Philippians 2:12 through 18 says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me." When we do things without grumbling or dispute, we are generally doing it with a thankful and happy heart and attitude. We are the light of God being shined on the world around us. We ought to look like the Lord, at least in some respects. We are to be thankful, not arguing about what we have to do or why, so we can be proven God's children. We are to know and treasure the scripture. Paul wrote us these things from a jail cell. Like, do you understand the depth of that? From a jail in Philippi, he wrote Philippians and showed us his amazing trust in the Savior. His resting in him, his peace, unmistakable and incomprehensible. Oh, to trust God to that depth. To not get tossed around by everything perceived to be bad, scary, or upsetting. It's pretty amazing. That's what happens when we keep our eyes on Jesus and remember who he is and whose we are. It's also the importance of knowing scripture, so that we can understand the things that God gave us to know him better, and how he wants us to live. How can we be like that? You know, how can we be the people he wants us to? By knowing our Lord and Savior, and that's through knowing the Word. Proverbs 30:7-9 says, "Two things I ask of you, do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I may not be full and deny you, and say, 'Who is the Lord?' or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of God." Something that is so important is that we know the balance. To know that for me personally, too much and I don't keep focused on God, and too little and I melt in despair. I don't want more than God wants me to have. I also don't want to disgrace him in need, but he loves us and knows what we need when we need it. He provides every good thing for us, so we ought to thank him for it and remember that he is our all in all. James 4:1-2 says, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." When we are discontent with what we have, it causes problems. We grow bitter, angry, and covetous. We have to come to a point where we truly grasp that God is completely sovereign, that he is in control and can even make evil circumstances come out for the good of us. That he knows what we need and provides it, and that sometimes we want more than is good for us, or things that will in fact harm us. A drug addict truly wants and feels the need for their addiction, be it alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever else. It's not healthy. Addiction's not healthy, and yet they actually feel the want and need for it. They feel that it's a need, but it isn't. It's them trying to find pleasure or comfort in something or someone that can't give it to them. It's them striving for what only God can truly provide. We all have a spot inside us that can only be filled by God. Not any version of God will do. He created us to want him and to only be filled through him, because he knows what's best and what's healthy and right and good for us. We ought to be thankful because he is good. He is faithful when no one else is. Our spouse will never truly fill every part of us. Our children can't. Things can't. We can't do it ourselves. No person or thing is enough to fill that spot that only God can. And he's right there waiting for you to turn to him to be filled. No matter how far gone you think you are, you're never more than a step away from his love. We're all wretched sinners in need of a Savior. None of us can do it on our own. Only God can be our payment. Only God can save us from our dirty, rotten souls. When we turn to him and put our trust in him fully and step down from his throne that we think is ours and put him in his rightful place, he saves us. He changes us into new creations. He cleanses us from our sin And in its place, God sees Jesus' righteousness. One day, we will be raised up with him in glorified bodies that have no hurt and nothing wrong with them. He will wipe every tear away from our eye, and we will live with him for eternity. On the new earth, with new tastes and new colors, spending eternity living in peace and love. Now that is something to be thankful for. When the world looks dark and we feel lack, just remember, if you're a believer, our hope is in eternity. We can be thankful for his love and redemption, even in the worst trials imaginable. What are you thankful for? I think we should all spend time often thinking about what he does for us, how he provides for us. We spend enough time thinking about what we want or what we feel we're missing. Shouldn't we spend more time thinking about him and the good things that he does and has done? Let's spend more time sitting in his thankfulness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come today with gratitude in our hearts. We want to thank you for the breath that we breathe, the air that fills our lungs, and the world that you gave us. Thank you for giving us the chance of salvation. Thank you for being patient with those of us who take longer to submit, and for humbling us in the process. Help us to live for you. Help us to love you. Help us to be thankful for what we have and see that we really have no needs that you don't provide. Help us to trust you to the depths of our core and know that no matter what you have, good is in store. No matter what, we have eternity with you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen.